So Psalm 119, verses 41 to 48. Let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even your salvation, according to your word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgments. So shall I keep your law continually, for ever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto your commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in your statutes. May the Lord bless that reading. The word to us tonight. Lord, thank you for your word. Speak to us, we pray. Bless us in your word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this is the section where every verse begins with a word beginning with the letter Vav, or Vav in the modern pronunciation. The letter V, if you like. Although this letter can also operate as a vowel, as an O or a U. It's an interesting chapter. It's an interesting chapter. And this letter by itself is the Hebrew word for and. But it doesn't ever stand alone as a word as it does in English. And, separate from the other words. It's always tacked onto the beginning of the word. So it forms part of the word. With this section, there are a number of and, so, that's this little prefix to the word. It's a connection right the way through this particular passage. And, so. One thing leads to another, as it does in life as well, but it does here, in the things of the Lord. And it's interesting, in the way that it's set out. And we're looking, of course, for those words which come first in the sentence, which aren't always the English words that are first in the sentence. And the first one is to do with coming. Calls me to come. Let me come. The basic word is come, but cause your mercies to come. Cause your loving kindnesses to come. Different interpretation, different translation, but it's the word that's there. Cause it to come. He's pleading to God for God's loving kindnesses. He is the source of all we need. And the psalmist says, let them come unto me. Your loving kindnesses. Each believer can and should thus pray because it reveals an attitude that we have nothing of ourselves, but we're looking to God in his grace and mercy. This is the loving kindness of God. That Hebrew word chesed, loving kindness. As I've said before, it's equivalent to the New Testament idea of God's grace. And this is what we need, the grace of God. We can never boast that we have done and achieved things or doing things for God or moving with God by our own strength. We're looking to God all the time for his grace. And each believer can pray this prayer to the Lord. Oh Lord, O Jehovah, let your loving kindnesses come to me. Your grace, your undeserved favour. I need you every hour. Every hour I need you. There it is. And he goes on to say, even your salvation. Your salvation, your deliverance, your rescue job. When we call upon the Lord, this is what we're ultimately focusing on. God is at work in our lives that we might know a full salvation. Day by day, we're knowing his salvation. He rescues, he delivers. And here, his salvation is Teshua. Teshua. And Teshua comes from Yeshua. And Yeshua means salvation. Here it is, salvation. It becomes a name. Yeshua, he will save. And in the New Testament, we have that name of Yeshua or Yehoshua. Jesus, he will save. In the end, when we look at the salvation of God, the salvation of God for us is a person. It is Jesus. It's even here in this psalm, the salvation of God. in it, hidden in it, if you like, in the Hebrew, is the name of the Saviour. Praise the Lord. And the psalmist says in verse 41 here, let your mercies come, even your salvation, according to your word. There's a revelation there. God's word. We need that revelation. We need to live by a daily revelation from God. We have the written word, the recorded word, but we need to know that living word. You know, in the New Testament we've got logos and we've got pneuma, two words in Greek for word. And logos is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the logos, he is the word. In the beginning was the word with God. This is the written word. But the rhema is that dynamic word, the spoken word of God. Comes to our hearts, to our lives. It is according to his word. And daily, he speaks to us. And this word here, word, refers to speech. We want to know he's speaking to us day by day, moment by moment, revealing to us, interpreting his word to us as he speaks to us. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We need that faith, because the things of God are wondrous things. Earlier on in this psalm, in verse 18, the psalmist says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That word wondrous, if you were to look it up, the Hebrew word implies things which are too high, too hard, too difficult for us, but God can reveal them to us. What has not entered into the heart of man, God, it says in 1 Corinthians, reveals them unto us by his Spirit. Isn't it wonderful to have the word of God? Isn't it wonderful? His word, you see, is the answer. And so we get into the next verse with an and or a so prefixed to shall have. What shall he have? I shall have the answer. I shall have wherewith to answer. He's got something to answer. He can give an account. You know, we as believers, we are in that situation where if we are sharing our testimony, we're giving an account. And if we know the mercies of God, if we know his salvation in our lives according to his word, we will have the wherewith to answer those that would challenge us. I shall have wherewith. Except that the Hebrew word for that's translated by wherewith is actually dabar. The word. The word. He will have the word. A word from God. I will have the word to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in your word. I trust in your word. There are those that would reproach us. The enemy wants to reproach us. There are those every day that want to reproach us. They want to defy. They want to blaspheme. They want to upbraid and tell us off. And to those that would reproach us, to the Richard Dawkins of this world, we can have a word from God. They might not understand it. We don't have the understanding to work it out. But we can have a word from God to be able to speak to those that would reproach us. For he says, I trust in your word. We can't always fully understand it with these minds, but we can take it in spiritually and know that power of the word of God and to speak the word of God, and the Lord will enable us to speak his wonderful word. You know, he says in Romans chapter 15, he's quoted from Psalm 69, but in Romans 15 and verse 3, he says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. He can deal with the situation. And so we've got the psalmist here saying, I need your loving kindness, Lord, your grace, your salvation, according to your word. So I'll have a word, your word, to answer those that reproach, that would challenge. I trust in your word. Amen. And don't take the word, he says in verse 43, don't snatch it away. That's the idea behind this verb. Don't snatch it away. That's the verb that comes first. Snatch not. Don't snatch the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I want to testify. I want to speak on your behalf. For I have hoped in your judgments. I've hoped in your judgments. Your word is the word of truth. Don't take it utterly out of my mouth. For I've hoped. I've been patient for. I've waited for your judgments. Your confirmation of the application of your word, your confirmation of your law. You know, when you go to the law courts, I hope you don't have to, when you go to the law courts, sometimes our laws are so difficult and complicated. New acts of parliament are passed. And nobody really knows how effective they're going to be until they go to the law courts, because when they go to the law courts interpret those acts of Parliament, and the decisions of the court then become the law. How they've interpreted that law. And only a higher court can overturn a court at this level, and a higher court above that one, you know, so it works its way up. There are challenges and challenges until it gets to the Court of Appeal and all the rest of it, and judges of appeal. And they're the law-making processes of our country. They're statute law, the laws of the past, and then those laws are interpreted in the courts. And Lord, we need you to confirm your word, your law, your judgments, Lord, your application. These are three verses, 41, 42 and 43, where the psalmist is calling to the Lord for help, for his grace, for an answer, to be able to give in the power of the Holy Spirit, to give an answer according to the word of God to those that would challenge, and to be able to witness with his mouth the word of truth according to the judgments of God. You know, the Bible shows to us so often that this number three is associated with God, isn't it? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three in one, one in three. And what follows? It follows five verses. And five in the Bible is a number associated with God's grace, which is what the psalmist had been praying for. God's grace. And as a result of this, the psalmist's prayer in these first three verses, we've got five verses of what the psalmist is going to be able to do by the grace of God. What's he going to do? So shall I keep your law. He's not simply talking about obeying the law, but this word keep means to guard, to put a hedge around, like a hedge of thorns, to protect. He is what for defending the word of God. Shame today that churches don't defend the word of God.
Yes.
They rewrite the word of God. They'll change their attitudes, they say, to fit the modern world. You won't go far wrong. You won't go wrong at all. If you take the word of God as it was originally intended, as God originally communicated it, it never changes. God's word is true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We start saying, oh, times have changed, people have different ideas now, we've got to fit in with what society's doing, we're off the track. And the psalmist wants to put that hedge around God's law. He doesn't want people from outside meddling with the word of God, trying to change it. It's what's happening in churches today, it's being changed. They accept same-sex marriages, they bless same-sex marriages. How can they do what God's word says is wrong, an abomination? The Bible says it's an abomination. It says it's an abomination for a man to dress as a woman and a woman to dress as a man. It says it's an abomination. Oh no, not now, we understand things, they don't understand anything at all. The Lord, he is God. His word is eternal, it is true. We will not go wrong if we stay by the word of God. Or people might criticise us, but stay with the word of God. Stay with the word of God. It is true. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, I'm going to put a hedge around. You know, Lord, if you let me know your grace, let me walk in your grace and your ability to understand your word, Lord, to be able to witness for you, I will keep that law. I will protect that law. I'll put a hedge around it continually, forever and ever. Wow. When is that then? It's always and for always and for always. Continually. You understand that? Continually. And then forever and ever we've come across before. Because in Hebrew, the first forever is a different word from the second forever. The first ever means eternally. The second ever means perpetually, without cease. Continually, eternally, perpetually. Is there ever going to be a time that the psalmist is not going to stand for the word of God? Is there ever a time when we are not going to stand for the word of God? Is there ever going to be a time when we're going to say, oh, things have changed. Attitudes have changed. Our understanding has changed. Oh, keep us faithful to your word, Lord. Protect that word of God in your hearts. Don't let the world overthrow it or challenge it. Stand by the word of God. What God says is true. What God says is forever, is eternal. So that's the first thing. By the grace of God, he says, I will keep your law. I will guard it forever and ever. And then verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will walk at liberty. This idea at liberty, we've got the idea of the walk of faith, but at liberty, free to go where he wants, if you like. I will walk at large. I won't be afraid to go there and afraid to go there. I will walk where I want. I will walk at large among the people. But today, people won't let the word of God go where it should go, do they? They're just like, oh, you can't say that to them. They're Muslims. You can't offend them. You can't start talking about Jesus, the Son of God, because they don't believe God has a Son. And all these things, Christians, we have to keep quiet about that. We mustn't say that because things are different. No, it's the word of God again being challenged, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the word of God. The psalmist says, I'm going to walk abroad among the people, at large, in any direction, anywhere. That's the confidence that we should have in the word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit to not be ashamed to declare his word. Whatever others may say. Whatever others may say. To walk at liberty. Do you know the Hebrew word for liberty? The Hebrew word that's translated liberty at large? It's Rahab. Rahab. And Rahab means the root Rumi. Rumi. The Lord made room for Rahab amongst his people in Israel. Rehoboth. I'm going to walk. I have the freedom to walk. At large. Why? He says, for I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I seek your precepts. I seek your commandments. I seek that which you have commanded. What to do. What not to do. The right way to live. Not a bondage to a set of rules for the rule's sake. Oh, we've got to do it because he says we've got to do it. This is accepting, understanding and moving willingly in the word of God for all his commands. They're good. And then in verse 46, it's an and again. And I will speak, all because of the Lord working in his life. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You see, we can get intimidated by people. You can get intimidated by someone like Richard Dawkins because, from a worldly point of view, he's a very, very intelligent man. Very well informed on a whole range of subjects. You get intimidated and, oh, but not saying to him. But the psalmist says, I will speak of her testimonies also before kings. I don't care who they are, what position they've got, I will speak of your testimonies. And give utterance to what you have witnessed to. And I won't be ashamed, I won't be confounded, I won't be disappointed. This is our confidence in the word of God. Stand on the word of God and you won't fail. Stand on the word of God, you'll never be ashamed. Stand on the word of God and you will never be disappointed. You will always be proved in the end to be right.
Amen.
Or maybe not for now, maybe now they will laugh, but eventually people will know that the word of God was true from the beginning. We can stand in that confidence. And he goes on into verse 47. And there it is, that and again, prefixed onto the word, becomes part of the word, of delight. There's a delight here. I will delight, there's pleasure. I will delight myself in your commandments. You see, it's not just a bunch of rules for the sake of rules. I will delight myself in your commandments. Somebody has suggested it's like a baby is being dandled on the knees. I think Short, in his concordance, uses the word dandle. It's the word of God. I delight in it. I like to look at the word of God from every angle. It's precious to me. Those commandments, he says, in verse 47, which I have loved. Do you love the word of God? Do you love his commands? Oh, hallelujah. They're precious. You won't go wrong. You won't go wrong if you stand in his word. And in verse 48, he says, my hands also. It starts off with lift up. I will lift up. So all the things he's going to do here, you see, in verse 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. I will lift up my hands unto your commandments. The great respect. Not reluctant, but glad to honour those commandments which he has loved like a friend. We came across this lifting up of hands in verse 7 of the psalm, Psalm 119. Where it says, I will praise you with uprightness. And that word praise is yada, which means yad, the hands. It's a movement of the hands. You get excited enough, it's not just the voice, it's not just the praise of the mouth, it's hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My hands also are lifted up. You know you can't keep that sort of thing quiet, can you? There's a testimony there.
It's so exciting.
Your commandments you have loved, and I will meditate. I will meditate in your statutes. That word meditate, it's that word ponder. We've looked at it before. I will converse with myself. I will talk to myself about it. It's good to talk to yourself. I think sometimes I'm the only one who understands me. Penny says she doesn't. In verse 15, just look at the comparison here. Verse 15 of the psalm. I will meditate in your precepts. Chew it over. Talk about it to myself. Ponder. That's what meditation is. You're pondering in your mind. Talking to yourself, if you like. A prince is also, it says in verse 23, to speak against me. But your servant did meditate in your statutes. And then in verse 78, a bit later on in the psalm. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in your precepts. Verse 148, right towards the end of Psalm 119. 148. He says, my eyes go before the night watches, that I might meditate in your word. Keep chewing the word of God over. Talk to yourself about it. Oh, hallelujah. There's blessing there. There's blessing there. This psalm, this section in the psalm, with the Hebrew letter Vav, V, is interesting. You see, in Hebrew, all these letters also have a numerical value. Aleph is 1. Vav here is number 6. And the numbers go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And then I can't remember that. 100, 200, 300, 400. 6 here. 6 in the Bible is the number of man. Man was created on the 6th day. It's short of one short of 7, perfection. 6, the number of man. And what we've got here is a revelation of the grace of God being revealed to man. When he speaks and pleads with God in those first 3 verses, he's praying for the loving kindness of God to come into his heart, to his life, into his situation, his salvation. He's looking for the ability to have the answer, to speak to people, to those who reproach him, and not to have that word snatched away from his mouth. He's talking to God to help him and to provide for all these situations. 3 times, 3 verses, he's looking to God. And then in reply, he says, I'll do all these things. 5, by the grace of God, I'll guard your law, I'll walk at large, I'll speak, I'll delight myself in your commandments, I'll lift up my hands and honour your law, your word. Wonderful. Praise his name. What a wonderful section that is. That to man, in all his fallen state, without the Lord, can know the grace of God and be useful for God to bring glory to his name. We can. Praise the Lord. We can in this area. May God bless you in his word.